Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming back and tuning into Burnout Bites. Today, we have Lynn Pinsek with us today. She has a wealth of knowledge, has been in the industry for quite a while and has had non-clinical and clinical opportunities and so many different things that she can share with us and how her career has blossomed over the years. Thank you so much for being here, Lynn.
Carrie, thank you so much for having me. This is such a well-needed topic to discuss. I'm so glad you're doing this.
Well, thank you for agreeing to be a guest. So you were telling me that you wanted to be a dental hygienist from the age of six.
Age six. I was born in an area with water fluoridation and my family moved to an area that didn't have it. And as a little kid, you got tons of praise for not getting cavities. It was unusual at that time. So I'm like, this is awesome. I'm going to do this when I grow up. And I mean, seriously, right through high school, right into dental hygiene school, no looking back.
Wow, that's pretty awesome to know at an early age that that's what you wanted to do and have been in the career for this period of time and happy in all the different things you've been able to do. Can you give our listeners basically, you know, all that you've done? Because it's a lot.
That's a lot. So that's what happens when you get older, my friend. So right out of hygiene school, I enrolled in Thomas Jefferson's four-year dental hygiene program. And Joanne Grenlin was my program director, and she pulled me aside as I was finishing the program. She says, go to graduate school. And I'm like, okay, I will. So I went to University of Maryland. So I've spent most of my life right over in the East Coast area. My four-year degree is actually dental hygiene with emphasis of hospital administration and how to provide care in hospital settings. I was thinking nursing homes, which is really hard work. I mean, you got to really love what you're doing to do that type of work. The four-year degree, the master's degree is actually dental hygiene and education. So I have a master's in education, a master's in dental hygiene with an emphasis of education. Now that I've been through all that, where my career path went me, I kind of wish I knew enough to take more business classes. I was faculty at Jefferson for a few years. The program closed. I had this passion for ergonomics in, this is like way early, late 90s. I was talking about ergonomics. And I fell into a job with Orascoptic. I mean, fell into it. Just happened to meet somebody at a conference, had a discussion. They liked what I had to share. They introduced me to the owner of the company. They flew me for an interview. And I think the reason they did that is I had this passion project with ergonomics and speaking about it. So I worked for Orascoptic on and off over 25 years. So there's a lot of people who don't know my last name and have me registered as Lynn Orascoptic in their database. And I left the position 5 years ago, and I get 2 to 3 calls a week still. I mean, it's amazing that it's been that long and people still have me top of mind. So one of the things, whatever it is you do, over deliver. You know, it's whatever you do, just do the best you can to offer people help. So yeah, 25 years selling for loops. I have short employment with Hugh Freedy. I was a school manager and I worked with all the schools in the Northeast for a year. I moved out to California and worked for BioLace and was a clinic coordinator. I put together conferences for BioLace, another short employment. I also worked for DenMat. And I was living just outside Manhattan, and I take the little bus from Weehawken to Manhattan, and I visited offices in New York City, teaching about the 1 hour whitening program. So it's funny. I worked for Orascoptic 8 years, did 3 jobs in 3 years, and then I went back to Orascoptic for 18 years. Things change, and I couldn't do all that traveling over 3 states that I was doing for that position, and I. Envista owns Nobel Biocare, Gendex, Pelton Crane. I mean, it's a big conglomerate of companies. Orascoptic was in there. And Nobel would ask me to show loops at their conferences. So I was working all these small implant meetings and found out a territory opened up. And I took a smaller territory with Nobel. That's an eye-opening learning curve because I was a high-functioning rep. And then you go into this massive learning curve. And when you take a position like an implant rep, it's not 3 months and you know what you're doing. It's years. I mean, I was 3 years into the position. I was just starting to really get comfortable. So I worked as an implant rep. I was taking care of an elder in my family. She passed away. I was asked to be her executor. And what was going on is I wasn't doing well in my territory with Nobel. I wasn't doing well managing the executorship. Nobel put me on a severance package, which was the best thing that could have happened. And I mean, that's something you don't hear a hygienist hear about often, but the longer you stay with the position, there are opportunities where they can help as you transition. So one of the colleges asked me to speak about implants. And when the class became available and we started sharing this information, my class on dental implant maintenance was being booked frequently. And it was mostly people who knew me who were asking me to do the presentation. So here I'm now approaching my second year speaking about implants. And the majority of my classes are booked by people who know me or dental implant reps who understand that I understand implantology, both as a clinician, as a hygienist, and as an implant rep. So what my goal is to teach a class for that hygienist who's overwhelmed by implants and really talk about what the basics are and how to make confident decisions when you see these patients, because it's such a big topic and that entry level really, that niche wasn't being addressed in the circles I was in. So, you know, I saw this opportunity and it took off nicely.
Now I want to go back to
where I am now. See, I'm back to clinical practice after 30 years of being out of practice. And it's interesting now because I'm older, life experience. I understand people. I can talk to people better than when I was right out of school. So yeah, you know, but now it's relaxing. I work short days, like 6-hour days. I'm not working 12-hour days. And it's just like 2-3 days a week.
The longer we're in the field, the more we're able usually to enhance our communication skills with patients. But I wanted to go back to when you said that you end up getting your initial job with oroscopic from basically the convention floor. So you're another one of the guests who've been on here who've stated that. I talked to Amanda Hill. I've talked to a couple other guests who basically they've got some amazing positions from going to the conferences, talking to the different representatives at the booths. And that's what I definitely encourage people to do. Going to the conferences, networking, talking about what you're interested in, because that does definitely bring about different opportunities that may not normally come about from different people. Yeah. So you have to stick your neck out there. You have to talk. You have to be prepared. Maybe I just printed out some new business cards for myself for the upcoming conferences I'll be at, talking to people and everything. So I find
you gotta present yourself the right way. Yeah. And you have to present yourself the right way. You need to be dressed appropriate. You can't be in shorts and hoochie clothing. You've got to be dressed appropriate when you're at these meetings if you're networking at that level. When you carry a paper resume or a paper one sheet about classes you teach, you got to watch how they want to receive this information. And you'll find some people want it all digital. Hi, hello, if you have a website. And some people will take the paperwork. And sometimes one of the things I do is whenever I meet somebody who's in industry, whether or not I think it's valuable, I will go on to LinkedIn and link in with them and see if I can keep some type of relationship. So whenever I'm at a meeting, I'll link in with a speaker, I'll link in with the program coordinator. So I'm constantly reaching out to people to see if that's how they function. And it's a nice resource to have when you're well-connected at that level, because you can send out that information about yourself and they may be receiving it. They're realizing they should be following you.
Yeah, LinkedIn is very powerful. That's how so many people connect with one another as a speaker. That's how sometimes people connect with me and reach into the DMs and invite me to speak or an opportunity. That's how I see positions. One of the new positions that I have, I saw on LinkedIn. And so, you know, I encourage people to continue to connect with one another, because had I not been on there, I wouldn't have seen the position, you know, scrolling through and connecting with different companies. So yes, that's a very good statement that you made. Now, have you had any challenges during your career? I know that you spoke about being a caregiver, you know, so being a caregiver.
Oh, yeah.
working
as a salesperson, it's always this carrot. So what would happen is you'd meet your goals, but if you exceeded your goal by a certain percentage, there'd be that stretch goal. You get a bonus of cash. You get a bonus of a vacation. So you're constantly working super hard to meet your goals. So learning to set boundaries and being okay if you miss your goals. You know, that's why I had a manager who was just lovely, who I wanted to leave because it didn't matter what I did. It was never good enough. So, you know, when you get these type of positions, you don't know if that person overseeing you is qualified for that position or good at that position or has interpersonal skills with who they're overseeing. So I would have this constant turnover of managers every couple years. And my joke was some would do more damage than others. And you know, when you finally do have a really good manager, it's nice. Mm-hmm. I actually had someone who's known me a very long time pull me aside. And she's like, you have not had the best managers. When you finally do have that one real good one that can help you and you know where your skills are and work with you with your skills and help you develop where you need to develop. So, speaking of skills, take your Gallup strength, take the Gallup strength finder, find out where your strengths are and really work off of that. Cause that'll help you understand where you should be moving your energy into. So, I mean, I do not have a business degree. So for me to work on Excel spreadsheets is hard. I mean, so I don't want that type of detail position. You know, I'm more of a creative.
I think that also applies with dental hygiene, because with dental hygiene, you know, sometimes there's production goals that they expect us to meet. And sometimes once you meet them, then and you keep getting bonuses, then they may extend that goal, you know, it's that carrot, and mm-hmm. then they can quite frustrating at times. So it's important to instill those boundaries, and that sometimes, you know, this is good enough and I'm not going to continue to push myself or maybe annoy people because I'm trying to meet a particular goal. So it's having boundaries for everything, basically.
Yeah. I think one of the keys with this about being okay with your production goals is how do you manage your home and how do you stay out of debt? Because I find if you have, I mean, I was 35 when I finished paying off my student loans, you know, and it's wow. I mean, you're constantly working on paying off this debt. So you have to, you know, divorce is expensive. So, you know, you have to watch how you're managing your home expenses. Do you know what I mean? And if you can keep those expenses low, you'll find that you don't have to work the 40, 60 hour work week, that you can work and you know, work within a 32 hour work week and have balance. Because what you're saying with production days is higher, there's longer hours versus there's more services for patients. And how do you communicate with your patients for better case acceptance?
And I think that's good information for the newer graduates, especially coming out, because, you know, when you first get out of school and you've been in school, you may have some type of debts, you may need some money. And then I know when mm-hmm. I graduated, a lot of the hygienists that I had seen, they had the expensive cars and it was like the purses. It was almost like a status thing. Like, you know, you're a dental hygienist and you're supposed to have certain cars and look a certain way to be part of the club. And, you know, you're bringing
that message about staying out of debt. Yeah. What's realistic?
And so people start working a lot of hours. But it's kind of hard sometimes once you get used to bringing in a certain amount of money to go back down to more reasonable days a week, you know? So it's just, like you said, having that budget and sticking to it, especially nowadays, everything is very expensive. Inflation is expensive. As a speaker, I booked tickets today, and as a speaker, having to fly to another state in a couple of months, I was just like, this is ridiculous. The plane tickets, you know, everything is.
It's hard to find $350 flights. You're finding them more at $700, like $500 to $700. And yes, I agree with you.
$500. They were exactly $500 plus $100 and everything. Yeah. I have an airport right near me, or I would have to like drive an hour or so away. And then that's the hassle on the gas and the parking and everything else. So it's like, what's the point? So yes, everything is more expensive. So we have to really make sure that we're staying within budget. And then, you know, sometimes we may look down at offices that want us to meet certain production goals, but in order for us to be employed, they're looking at the budget too, to keep everything operating. So I think continuing to learn, continue to go to conferences to see what the latest is so that we can offer our patients the best services can offset us thinking that it's just sales. And currently go ahead.
There's an interesting position in your local component. So if you're part of your state association or your local component, and that's the person who talks to the vendors to bring the vendors into their local meetings, because now you have relationships with these people in industry and you will be first of mind. So if you're interested in being in, you know, taking a position in industry, volunteer for that job. First of all, you're volunteering. That's a resume builder. Second is you're networking with the people who have these type of positions. And like your Benco rep, your Henry Schein rep, your Patterson rep, it's not just one company. That's lots of different companies. So these people who work with these distributors are going to know about lots of positions. So making sure you have that relationship with that type of person who's visiting in your offices you know, if they know you're interested, do it. You know, the other topic that we kind of touched on earlier was education. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is say you're working on your bachelor's. And if that means you're taking one class a semester for years, you're still working on your bachelor's. And that can get you further through an interview process than saying, no, I don't have my bachelor's. And, right. you know, I really think part of avoiding burnout is learning as much as you can. You know, always picking up new knowledge. I personally think dental hygiene needs more psychology in the curriculum.
At this point, especially after COVID, there's a lot of, I mean, as someone who talks about burnout, there's a lot of mental health issues, and a lot of our patients yeah. aren't necessarily as kind as they people mm-hmm. used to. You know, we yeah. love dental hygiene because we're able to develop these relationships for our patients, but I'm seeing more and more in dental hygiene forums, people venting about like the awful patients that they've had that day where they just tried to dump kindness and rainbows and sunshines, and they've been met with yeah. like such crabby attitudes. And sometimes patients have to be dismissed. So yes, definitely. Definitely. I think that's
me. I had an aha moment about these patients.
A lot of dental hygiene.
I had an aha moment.
Psychology. They become like, So
these patients who they're crabby, if let's say they have an executive position and they do that 60, 80 hour work week, and they come and they sit in your chair, that may be the only time they have to sit still. And here we want to talk with them and they're not responding back to the conversation. And it may be that the best thing we do for that patient is just be quiet. How you doing? How we doing? And just leave it there. Because sometimes, and I mean, I was in that position where you're just so stressed. And when you sit down and your appointment, being quiet is like, you know, especially like the mom who's got lots of little kids, you know. So sometimes being quiet during the appointment is what the patient needs.
Oh, yeah. As a mom of a toddler, like I do appreciate quiet time. And, you know,
yeah,
I don't necessarily... Yeah. Enjoy the massage therapist like talking to me like, you know, let's chit chat a second and then let me do your job and let me fall asleep and then wake me up. And mm-hmm. that's what I don't want to happen. I don't like when, and I'm not going to tell the massage therapist because of my personality. I'm not going to necessarily tell them like, will you stop talking to me? And because I'm going to feel that that's rude and I don't want to be rude. I want to be, you know, empathic or whatever, but I just want you to stop talking to me and massage me. So I get it. That's a good point.
When I finally figured that one out, it's like, I get it. Been there, get there. So, you know, we were talking about education. And if you really want to move into an industry position, the marketing degree, the MBA degree is now becoming more of the entry level for these type of positions. So to take classes or just read the most popular books on these type of topics really will help you get further. The degree I don't see hygienists going for enough is law. And I mean, if you want to make big money, like if you want to leave clinical and you want to make a lot of money, a sales position with capital equipment is really the direction you want to go. So you want to be selling like the x-ray equipment. You want to be selling the big equipment if you want to make a lot of money. You know, I sold, my average sale was $1,000 to $2,000, and I wrote a lot of them. So mine was more of a money ball game in that position. The way to make the money in that position was exceed goal. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what is, if you're going to leave clinical or you're looking to do something in addition to clinical, you know, moving into that direction, and you're going to start seeing more information about this, a peer-to-peer network. And this is sort of a Mary Kay version of sales. And this is smaller companies that are looking for people to talk about their products and promote it. So that's something, you know, keep an eye out for. You'll see this coming out.
Is that like lunch
and you know, that's where you're kind of, yeah, I mean, like depending on what the company needs. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. if you want a position with Lunch and Learns, having that education degree really will get you far because you need to understand how people best receive their information, if you need to write curriculum or not. So some companies have the flip book and you go through the information, you read the information as the company presents it. And some companies will want you to build your own curriculum.
Yeah, I'm in that process right now. So I just accepted a position and it's education with a side of sales. And so that's brand new to me because previous companies or current companies mm-hmm. that I work with, they provide you with the presentation and then you get comfortable. And I always build upon it, ad lib, incorporate my real life information, stories, patient accounts, and things that I've picked up, whatever. But so that's pretty new in that they have certain material, but I do have to make my own presentation. And also sales is kind of new for me too in that aspect, as far as not being a clinical hygienist and talking to my patients about different things, but actually talking to the offices about the products and then them being able to order through me.
Love it. Love it. Good. As you move into industry, there's all these different opportunities, more than just the educator, more than just the salesperson. So you'll find that there's companies that look for focus groups and they want to have hygienists to show product to and get their opinion on. So it's smart to network with the companies to let them know that you're available. It's also smart to market yourself. So if you do have classes, to have a web page, to have a one page with an email with a one page that you're able to send out quickly. It's smart to have that, to present yourself the way you want to be perceived. And they joke around about fake it till you make it. I helped. She was the director of education for a dental assisting program. And she wanted to start speaking on classes. And I'm like, why don't we just write a curriculum that you would want to present? You hadn't presented it yet, but nobody knows that, and see who's interested. And dents fly pick it up and they place her all the time to present. So, take those topics you're really passionate about, research about it, write about it, network about that topic. And when you look at Amanda Hill and water testing, there's an example of a passion project that just exploded. Me with ergonomics back before it was a topic, they thought I was nuts when I started selling loops in the early 90s. I was like, no, this will help you sit up straight. This will keep your back in alignment. You will feel better. I forgot my scopes today. And I'm like, boy, those loops are, those teeth are small. Boy, that mouth is dark. So my check engine light went on yesterday. I was a little distracted and needed to get my car addressed. I forgot to bring my loops today. So embarrassing. So, you pick that passion project, write about it, have fun with the topic and see what happens with it. And, take the opposite. And my neighbor is a dietitian. She loves home renovations. So, she works part-time as a dietitian to get her benefits, and she's renovating people's bathrooms in our condo.
Yeah, there's tons of hygienists who do that. I know that in my Facebook group, there's one who she has her own food truck now. She has for ice, the snow cones and everything.
Oh, that's
awesome. There's some people that they find something totally out of dentistry to do either as a side career, or they transition to something else at different points of their lives and everything. But I like all the different tips that you gave us, because a number of dental professionals, they want to know how to get in these different fields and they just don't know how. So you've given a lot of great on actually how.
Secrets to make it look easy. It's not easy. The secret is to make it look easy.
Yes. Basically,
yes. Anybody asks you to do anything, say yes.
Yeah. That's Year of Yes. So that's a great book. The Year of Yes with Shonda Rhimes. So saying yes is very important. Of course, we talk about boundaries, but I usually try to say yes to as many opportunities as I can. Now, I do have a family, so people who are, have different family dynamics, they may be able to say yes to everything, but I try to say yes to as much as I can, because that always opens out the door. You don't know what door is going to open to another opportunity. Yeah. So I think that's very important.
It's all who you know. Yeah, that's it. Hey, fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on with this. This has been great.
Thanks for coming on, Lynn. You've just given us so much to think about. And key points is going to conferences, networking, having information available. So taking advantage of that networking, not in a bad way, but actually trying to connect with people further. So you mentioned LinkedIn, maybe having a one pager, having something where they can connect with you later on, see what you're interested in, what your passion project is, as well as the importance of education. So education definitely can take us far. There are some positions that you have to have certain degrees to qualify for. So regardless if we like that or not, certain things need certain degrees that they have as qualifiers for that. And sometimes I think the professionals really hate that when they don't have the degree. But if you have a surgeon who's working on you, want them to have whatever degree they need, highest degree, if they're working on you or your loved one. So we have to think about change our mindset.
And you'll find some companies require the degree and will actually help you obtain the degree if you're already working on it. So you'll find that can happen too. Hey, one more thing that I do is I keep an Excel spreadsheet of my contacts.
Okay.
And I have it as potential lead who wants to book me as a speaker. I have it as somebody in industry to keep, you know, keep them in mind. I have it as like a champion, somebody who believes in me and pumps me up. And I keep a list of all these different categories. And I actually hired somebody to help me manage this now. So, and I can send out emails. So I just sent out an email to all my contacts, summarized. I did 11 presentations in the past couple of months, summarized that 9 out of 11 inquired about rebooking, which is a big deal. I gave real quick links to if you wanted to read the reviews for the events. And I just kind of, I had to explain to everybody what I'm doing because I'm not at the conferences. I'm not top of mind. And, you know, just toot your own horn. So keep your contacts and frequently reach out to people. You know, just with a, hey, how's it going? You know, if you call someone just to talk and catch up, I got a question. Can I run it by there? You know, be vulnerable. Ask people, what do you think? See what their responses are. Because you'll find there's people that are out there tuning for you and waiting for you to discover what it is you want to be doing. And they're more than happy to listen and make suggestions. There's more good people in the world than bad. Just pay attention to those patients.
I spoke somewhere last year and someone gave me a card to potentially speak for them. And I held on to that card for like a long time, for a year almost. Mm-hmm. And then I finally reached out to them and I'll be speaking at an upcoming conference in August. So, you know, not losing out on opportunities because you don't follow up, you know, so it's important to
stay organized. Follow up
leads and stay
and if
organized,
somebody says no, that just means no right now. That just means you didn't give them the right information where they had the need to, you know, when you're presenting them a solution to a problem that they have. So, you know, if somebody shuts you down, still keep them in the back pocket and represent yourself and see what happens.
Yeah, that's a good point, because as a speaker, a lot of people know me as speaking about burnout and they don't necessarily recognize that I speak on other topics like diversity or workplace culture or empowering the dental hygienist, or I actually can build a course. So depending on if it's something that I would be interested or passionate about, speaking with the host, you know, we're able to kind of build a course for their audience on something kind of what I speak about. And so sometimes people will kind of pigeonhole you into only doing this, kind of like actors. Once you see them in another movie, you can't see them in any other movie because, you know, they're pigeonholed into being an action actor or a comedian. So you never want, you know, so we have to really change that mindset. So that's a good point that you brought up. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Hey. Well, thank you so much for being on here and being a great advocate for our industry, all the different things that you've done. We look forward to seeing you and look forward to learning more about your course. I know that it's very important for us to learn more about implant maintenance because we weren't really taught about that. And so much has changed. Like, we shouldn't even be using certain
So much has changed and we just don't have time for that in our curriculum, and we really need to. There is no mandatory CE for dental implants. And honestly, like, you need to take many, many classes before it starts to make a lot of sense. Thank you again. Thank you.
Where can people find you?
Oh, so my LLC is called Practice at Your Best. So lynn@practiceatyourbest.com is my email address. My website is Practice at Your Best. I'm on LinkedIn, and you will see me with my husband and Basset Hounds on Facebook.
Well, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you later. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you. Take care.